This is
the Macho Man Randy Savage.
And this is
Hard Factor. And there is no one that does it better.
Right now, yeah.
Nobody does it better.
I ain't repeating myself. Go ahead, tell me something right now.
Yeah, and I'm living a nightmare.
And I'm not a racist. And I'm always cheering.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to another episode of Hard Factor. It is Wednesday, February 3rd, 2021, episode number 617 of Hard Factor, and we got a full house tonight. I'm Will, we got Pat, Mark, and Wes. How you boys doing? You feeling good? Ready for this What the Fuck Wednesday?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait, Will. Yeah. I'm all jacked up on New Jersey pizza.
Nice.
Yeah, I can't wait. Dude, the pizza here.
That's what I like to hear at the top of an episode. Everybody ready to go. Real quick before we get going, we loved hosting these podcasts on Anchor now, which is Spotify's podcast platform. And there's actually interactive questions with the show now. So if you are listening on Spotify or actually listening through the Anchor app itself, there's like questions that show up with the show related to the content of the show. So today's questions, we'll try to call them out maybe. I don't know. If you're in there, if you're listening in Spotify or Anchor, check that out. We'll have some questions about the show. You can interact with it. Shout out to Talia and Matt at Anchor. They've really helped us keep the pod going straight through the transition as Absolutely. We go on to our own. So
answer some of those questions because we'll post them and then everyone will be able to see them on Spotify. So just give us a few answers. Give us a few
enhances
shouts.
The listening experience.
Right.
No thanks to Robinhood, though. I started successfully moving all my money from there to a different brokerage app. Today, how you fellas doing with the holding the line and the Robinhood?
Oh man, I got to tell you, so I'm paying double rent. That was super easy with every dollar I have tied up in Robinhood and them not giving. You know, they debited it from my account. They had no problem taking it right out of my account during the rush, the GME rush. Mm-hmm. But they're not so keen on giving it back to me.
Now that 5 day hold really locks you in there for the five.
Mine
days.
Just cleared.
Yeah, I still have diamond hands. Let's move on. I don't want to talk about
it. I got back in the naked today.
Oh, bro, stay out of naked.
Everybody's diving back in. We're holding the line.
Yeah.
Also, Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow, so the snow ain't going nowhere for 6 weeks. Now, for real.
Read the room, Punxsutawney Phil. They couldn't
Mark,
have, like,
your
fuck
turn.
Him. All right, guys, I got a quirky one.
Yeah, they really got to, like, show him a handgun before he goes out. You know what I mean?
Like, keep doing it until he does it right. Like, don't let him get away with that. Anyways, I got the first one's a quirky one submitted by the interns. You know how oftentimes Hollywood stars are vandalized, like the actual star, and oftentimes signs with letters on them are vandalized to make funny words? Like, for example, our high school announcement sign that was right out front of the main entrance that would like get ravished. It's like, mm-hmm. Welcome back, Principal Butt Stink.
Oh, yeah. Principal Butt Stinkerton really got that bad, didn't he?
Yeah.
We just covered up the Inkerton. But no, yeah, totally, Mark. Where I used to do my laundry, they do rugs. And they had a sign that says, we do rugs. And come on, guys. Third D in there.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Drugs. Right. We do drugs.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I get it. Well, look.
We used to, our rock got a vomino. It was, you'd taunt the man with his own, like you'd hoist the superintendent upon his own petard using his words against him on
the
rock.
Yeah, and now he's like the head of the entire county. Anyways.
Well, we trained him good.
Yeah, he had to deal with us. Well, combine both of those things, the Hollywood part, and the vandalizing a sign, and you've got a prank pulled off by six people when they changed the Hollywood sign to Holly Boob the other day.
Got him.
Pretty good. I like how the B is like kind of shitty too.
Yeah,
it's all shitty. Look at it.
No, well, see, it's hard to see, but the W, they just put a giant tarp over it with a B, and then the second B is the D, and they just put like a line through it. So it's like Holly, it's too big.
You can tell it's Holly Boob, but it's like funny looking.
Right.
Whoever did this smokes weed. I'll tell you that much because this is not a well formulated plan here. They definitely this is
lazily done. Yeah.
Yeah. It was sloppily done. A big tarp with the letter B was thrown over the W, and a strategically placed white dash placed across the D to make the second B. Holly Boob got him. The thing is, maybe it was wasn't a prank in terms of like, oh, Hollywood sucks its own farts or makes horrible movies or too many skin flicks. No, according to the six who were all quickly cited for misdemeanor trespassing.
Oh, they found these people?
The Hollyboob six.
They got arrested right away. The Hollyboob six. It was to spread breast cancer awareness. So I don't know if that was truly the case or they're quick on their feet.
February.
It's a great excuse.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, LAPD Captain Steve Lurie, who probably can't believe he was drug out to spend time with this, said there's no vandalism because the sign wasn't damaged. They just took off the tarp and the dash and took like 5 seconds and it was over.
There you go.
Yeah, so not bad. A little known fact to people that are obsessed with that aren't obsessed with Hollywood, I should say, is the site of the sign is surrounded by Griffith Park. That's like the park it's in. And it's not accessible to the public. So the vandals had to climb some rough terrain to get up there. So they're high and potentially.
Well, they're lucky their doobies didn't light a little brush fire there. You know, lots of sage in them hills.
Bro. Man, those letters are pretty high. Yes. That actress, Peg Entwistle, she actually, you know, your career failed in Hollywood when you jump off the Hollywood sign to kill yourself. But she did that way back in the day.
That's dramatic, isn't it?
That is dramatic.
Give her an Oscar posthumously.
The sign also is privately maintained by the Hollywood Sign Trust, which sounds like a really cool bunch of people. Proving my point, a representative for the trust said they were grateful for the fast response from the LAPD. And then Mark Pantier, the group's chairman, went on to say, again, after the sign was quickly cleaned up, it's unfortunate that such an important icon for the city of LA is not being appreciated. Trespassing to alter the sign is wrong, no matter the purported cause. So he doesn't care that it's for breast cancer awareness. Mm-hmm. He went on to say, when you disrespect the sign, you're disrespecting Katie Hepburn and Grace Kelly, Liz Taylor and Ava Gardner. Marilyn Monroe, is she a Hollyboob? What would the ghost of Marlon Brando and Kirk Douglas say? You think that fat, drunk Orson Welles would appreciate the hysterical change of Hollywood to Hollyboob? What is this, Tinseltown? You think the great Johnny Depp or O.J. Simpson deserve to hear about this? Mel Gibson better not find out any of those six were Jewish, I'll tell you that right now. Bill Cosby hates boob jokes. What about the writers of Twin Peaks, for Christ's sake? All right, yeah, sorry. Anyway.
It's a long quote.
He was really worked up.
He was worked up. You don't mess with his side.
This is pretty bad. Did he know that it was breast cancer awareness motivated? Oh, which I don't think it was.
Best thing.
Afterwards, as you said, he goes, I don't care the purported. I don't care what the cause was.
That guy needs to calm down. This is the best thing that's happened to the Hollywood sign in years.
Right.
Since land fell off it.
I agree, Will. I commission everyone to maybe I might start a petition to like permanently change the sign to Hollyboob for breast cancer awareness.
Or just let stoners like decorate it once a month. And then the cops just go like take it down and laugh about it the next
day. Especially if it's like a tarp and it's not like permanently damaging it.
I think they just wanted to change it to Hollyboob. And then as the cops were rolling up, they're like, think quick. Oh, it's February.
100%.
I bet there's another more elaborate one. Pat. I bet there's another more elaborate one coming. Like now, they think that like that was the one. Now it's going to, someone's going to really do it up. Like put like fucks kids under it or something like that, you know?
Hollyweed.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Hollyweed would be easy.
You could definitely go after some of the, some of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to really get under that guy's skin.
Yeah.
Good point. Yeah, the Hollywood
sign. Point out some real bad shit.
Point out a few things. Hollywood.
The group of pretentious losers at the Hollywood Sign Committee would not like that. But look, I hope all of the boobs are well taken care of and comfortable. Breast cancer awareness, just like my cock and balls are in my Mac Weldon underwear and Ace sweatpants. Ooh, Mac Weldon is a premium men's essentials brand that believes in smart designs and high quality fabrics. Mack Weldon offers a one-stop shop for men's basics, socks, shirts, hoodies, underwear, polos, and active shorts. Whatever you need, Mack Weldon has you covered. Unlike the assortment of department store brands that make up your top drawer, all of Mack Weldon's basics have a consistent fit that you can count on. I'm wearing a Mack Weldon t-shirt right now. You're not just going to look great in Mack Weldon.
So comfortable.
It's amazing. Their underwear, socks, and shirts perform well too. So from working out, going to work on a or just going on a date, Mack Weldon is for everyday life. Mack Weldon also has created a totally free loyalty program. Level 1 gets you free shipping for life, pretty good. And once you reach level 2 by spending $200, Mack Weldon will give you 20% off every order for the next year. Look, do I have to say it again? Are you going to make me say it? Mack Weldon's clothes are great. All of them, the shirts, the polos, the long sleeves, but the sweatpants, the motherfucking Ace sweatpants.
Mack Weldon's making sweatpants like a fashion item. It's incredible. Mm-hmm.
You'd be an idiot not to get them. You'd be a holly boop. For 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com/factor and enter promo code factor. That's 20% off your first order at Mack, M-A-C-K, Weldon, WELDON.com/factor and enter promo code factor.
Nice. All right, guys, gonna go back. Gonna go back to hunt some treasure. We got a big one. We got a big one for you guys.
Yeah.
And it's the kind that dreams are made of. I promise I'm gonna break out the metal detector this week. It was raining last week I had my son, so we didn't get to it. But this has my juices flowing. A fellow treasure hunter, Kevin Duckett, was doing a little detecting near Market Harborough in Northamptonshire, when he picked up a signal. So we dug down. Maybe he would find a nice coin or something, he thought. No, he dug, he found the goddamn 2.5-inch gold figurine from the fucking crown of Henry the fucking Eighth. Look at that.
What? You gotta be shitting me.
No.
That was found with a metal detector.
With a metal detector. Yeah. It was thought to be lost 400 years ago. So the history of this thing
is solid gold.
It's solid gold. It's right off the fucking crown.
Holy shit. This is the
type of, this is the type of story that will never get West to quit metal detecting.
No, this is what it's made. This is what it's all about,
this
fellas.
This could be a false flag operation.
This is the big leagues.
From big detector.
This is what we're all looking at. So the history of this thing is in 1649, Oliver Cromwell abolished the monarchy. He beheaded King Charles I, he was the son of Henry VIII, and ordered the crown, once worn by Henry VIII, melted down and made into gold coins. But that didn't happen. The jewels were sold off piece by piece. Some people,
of course,
right?
What idiot would go through with that proposal?
It's crazy. I mean,
you could make like 10 times the money selling the crown as is.
It's a priceless artifact.
Go away somewhere out of my sight. And right. Melt it down to coins. I trust you.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's the gold. The crown.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how much he thought about Henry VIII. He didn't even give a fuck about his gold crown. It was worn when he was married to this Anne of Cleves in 1540. The coronations of his children, like I said, King Charles I. And they say that when Charles tried to escape, this is what historians think, that the figurine detached, or he was trying to hide it from Cromwell somewhere. And this fucking guy found it out of nowhere, and it's worth $2.5 million.
That's it.
That's what I said. I thought it'd be worth like a billion.
Yeah.
Is it because
where did he find this?
Is it because people think it's evil? Henry VIII is the guy that cut everyone's heads off, right?
Like, well, he was.
Henry VIII. I am.
It's
big time.
Still
historical figure.
It's still big history. Yeah. It was just in a field.
Is this a fucking field?
Northamptonshire. Near a market.
My goodness.
It's sure it's not Shire, right? Because that's what Andrew Parker
Northamptonshire.
Sure.
Well, I know surely Wes will be out there with the metal detector after this because that everyone, I mean, you're gonna be everywhere.
If you're in England and you're not a metal detectorist, you're an idiot.
Yeah, I agree. It's the holy land for metal detecting. I bet you that Andrew Duckett or Keith Duckett's gonna be like, fuck it when it comes to work for the rest of his life, probably. Because
Not bad.
I mean,
because you got that ducat.
See, I run that. Getting them ducats.
What was the price again?
He said it was worth $2.5 million.
$2.5 million. Yeah. I mean, someone's going to spend more than that on Henry VIII's thing.
You could up that to $5 million.
You try to sell it to the Queen's rich ass,
right?
True.
I'm seeing
some land.
I'm seeing some conflicting reports on how much a gold bar cost, because this looks to be about the size. Let's assume it's
2.5 inches, Pat.
It's because it's historical value.
Right, that's what I'm saying. What's the raw gold cost? And then what do you add on top of that?
Not much. Probably the raw gold's not much at all.
That's right? Probably like, what, 2-3 ounces of gold?
That's probably like...
Yeah. Maybe four, five, ten grand.
Bubba's showing us a stat here. Henry VIII is accused of beheading 72,000 people.
Yeah, see, he cut everyone's fucking head
during his reign.
Told you. Yeah, it's not great. That's what I'm saying. Maybe people were
he has eight wives,
so
right?
Sick
something
of
like
this
that.
Bastard.
Nine
yeah,
wives,
and didn't he cut most of their heads off, too?
Yeah.
Or some of their
heads
off? Yeah.
It's quicker
so maybe
than
people
divorce.
Don't want anything to do with his punk ass.
Someone from the Illuminati loves it.
That makes it even more of a collector's idea. Like... He's so fucking
Satanists
infamous.
Probably want it.
The rich Satanist would love it.
Yeah, dude.
He's so famous, he's infamous. Like El Guapo. Mm-hmm.
So many people collect Hitler shit, and he was Hitler. This guy's like maybe.
He was Hedler.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good one.
Yeah. Statue of limitations, right?
That was one of the punniest stories we've done in a while.
Good it. Job, guys.
Right. We're going to keep it overseas, fellas. Another day in 2021, another international shakeup at the national election level, which is like, you know, kind of scary. You have one of those every single day. That's getting a little weird. Yesterday, we were talking about Myanmar. Today, it's Alexei Navalny. That's right. The Russian opposition leader to Vladimir Putin, who has been poisoned at least twice by the Kremlin and still refuses to shut up about pointing out Putin's hypocrisy, Putin's palace, his secret daughters, whatever else. He did actually make it to his trial on Tuesday, February 2nd. But unfortunately for Alexei, the sentence was 2.5 plus years in a gulag Russian prison camp on embezzlement charges. Navalny says these charges are totally trumped up against him, but Bubba's got a picture of maybe the last time we'll ever see him. If you could pop that up, that's him saying goodbye to his wife, Yulia, doing the little hand heart over his heart. It's all going to be face. Okay, honey. Yeah, that's the face of a man.
He knows he's never going to see her again, or at least in any capacity of like what he is now.
He's never going to be able to make that with his hands ever again.
That's a haunting image. That is a very haunting image. I don't know if we're going to see that guy again. That's a sad one.
Yeah.
After the courts made the decision at about 8 p.m. St. Petersburg time on Tuesday, mass demonstrations broke out in the streets and continued the show of support for Navalny. They've been going on for weeks now, ever since he was poisoned for the second time. But the riot cops were there and ready, detaining over 320 demonstrators at least, and that's just on Tuesday night. They've detained shitloads before in the riots.
You know who's going to buy that fucking gold thing? Putin's going to buy it. That's right up Putin's alley.
That's perfect.
And get out, you guys, check out the Discord. If you go to patreon.com/hardfactor and join one of the tiers, you can get on our Discord chat. And I gave my theory on what's going to happen with him. People in the Discord chat were like, you know, he's going to die, right? How many months till he dies? Let's over under. I think they're going to let him live because of all the protesting, but they're going to like lobotomize his ass. Like they're going to take away his mental capacity to like be a dickhead to them, like to fuck with them. He's just going to be a complete shell of himself.
I think an inmate's going to kill him, and a hired inmate's going to kill him.
That's the easy way out. Tartaglione style.
Epstein style. That's the other option. We'll see how it plays out. U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken, who his name shortened as A. Blinken, which is pretty funny. He says, we reiterate our call for the Russian government to immediately and unconditionally release Mr. Navalny, as well as the hundreds of other Russian citizens wrongly detained in recent weeks for exercising their rights, including the rights to freedom of expression and peaceful assembly. Mitch McConnell and other American lawmakers echoed similar sentiments, but too bad we haven't pardoned Edward Snowden. I'm sure Putin will throw that in our faces again sometime soon as we complain about his hypocrisy. Also, the Russian UN ambassador basically told the U.S. to shut the fuck up about Navalny, given what happened at the Capitol last month. So it doesn't really seem like Russia cares too much what we got to say on this one. But we will see how it all plays out.
Why don't you put on your underwear, Alexei? Put on your non-poisoned underwear.
It's clean, fresh out of the laundry.
Get your crotch in there.
I don't know why they have German accents.
Yeah, it's like great Russian accent.
Try your clean underwear, Alexei.
Oh, your underwear is so dirty, Alexei. Wouldn't you prefer some clean?
So, we'll see what Vladdy gets up to over there with those 2.5 years. But you know one thing Vlad Putin can't stop any of us from doing? That's having fun, listening, and giving more free Hard Factor shows on the Stereo app. That's a new app on Android and iPhone. Download it. Stereo app, orange and black icon. It's in all the stores. Free, totally free, and it's radio meets social media. It's basically a super fun interactive show. Two hosts lead a conversation about any topic, and we take audio inputs from the audience. So it's free app. Download the app. You get notified when we go live, and then you can just sort of listen to us chop it up and submit your own piece to the show, and we can play it back right there in the show. We got one today, right? We got one today. Every Wednesday and Friday we're doing. So me and Pat are going today. Pat, what time are we going today on this Wednesday?
I think we're going to – you want to go at 5 Eastern, right?
Is that what we're doing? 5 Eastern.
Yeah.
We're going to do the live at 5 on this Wednesday with Will and Pat. So we're doing them every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in, like we're saying, for Pat and I today. You got Wes and Mark on Friday. They'll announce the time. But again, to get in on this, download the Stereo app. It's free in all the app stores. And then follow at Hard Factor Will, at Hard Factor Mark, at Hard Factor Wes, and Pat Cassidy. And you get notified when we're going live. We'll also schedule our shows so you can see it. It's super fun. Get in there. It's free content.
We might do a little dad talk today because I haven't got to catch up with Will about how what I'm to look forward to in the next.
There
segment.
We go. That's a good topic.
So a little Subaru talk too. It's gonna be great for lesbians. All right,
lesbians
guys.
And dads.
The next one is from Father Brian. I love a good con man story. I don't know about you guys. I can't get enough of them. And our interns, who also happen to be our legal counsel, would advise me to do, I have to preface this story by throwing a big fat allegedly all over it. This thing is dripping with allegedly, in my opinion.
Okay. Bubba, well, con man stories often are.
Was that good, Bubba? Did I do that? Can I say what I want now? Yeah.
He's giving you thumbs up.
Mm-hmm, big time.
Yeah, you cleared yourself there completely, for sure.
Hell yeah.
Every which way.
Big alleged.
Immune to all crimes now.
Mm-hmm, wrapped up in a blanket of allegedly. All right, guys, back in February 2020, it was reported that 32-year-old Rhode Island man, Nicholas Oliverdian, had died after a short battle with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And the reason this Rhode Island man was worth writing about was because he had become quite a public figure in Rhode Island politics. And he worked as a lobbyist to reform Rhode Island's child welfare program, as well as Nebraska's and Florida's. So there was that. But it was also important that they talk about his battle with lymphoma, because he called a bunch of journalists and insisted that the fact that his life as a crusader for children was being tragically cut short was really newsworthy and needed to be reported. So,
He's one of these guys who's like DMing every single person in media being like, this is my story.
He was calling around saying, I'm dying and I'm a warrior. A little backstory on this quote warrior, as he's described in his obituary. He allegedly that his parents were, quote, abusive and alcoholic and couldn't take care of him. So he was placed in foster care where he claims he was beaten daily. That was until he got hired as a page in the Rhode
Join
Island.
Join the club. Just kidding, Mom and Dad.
I know. Yeah. No, your parents are very nice. That's not true.
Just kidding.
But he claims that he was beaten daily until he got hired as a page at 14. And then somewhere down the line, he eventually sued the states to bring welfare reform. Right. So solid guy, seems like. Right. But it seems he may have been up to no good, because back in 2008, in between his advocacy work for welfare reform, he was using the alias Nicholas Rossi, and he was charged with sexually assaulting a Sinclair Community College woman in a stairwell.
That's bad.
Yeah, and this
that
wasn't...
That creepy-looking guy?
That's the guy right
I feel
there.
Like I've seen this guy before.
You may have.
In your nightmares. Yeah.
You can only do so much good before...
On social media.
You know? Yeah. Right. So, you know, he has a little one running with the law. That's about it. No. There's another one, because leading up to his sudden and mysterious death, the FBI was investigating him for fraudulently obtaining 22 credit cards and loans under his foster father's name and running up debts totaling almost $200,000. He also stuck his second wife with a $52,000 loan and didn't seem to like registering as a sex offender when he moved around. So
those are all terrible things.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the kind of investigation from the FBI that would make you wish you were dead, right? Am I right?
I see what you did there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it certainly would.
Yeah,
you might get caught with those crimes.
Fake your own death.
Yeah, maybe, allegedly, because this guy's fucking not dead. Everyone's pretty sure that Nicholas faked his own death and is really dedicated to selling it. So check it out. According to the Providence Journal, Father Bernard Healy received an email from Nicholas's, quote, widow a couple months after he died, requesting a memorial service for Nicholas so that, quote, state politicians could celebrate his bright life. But then after he got that email, shortly thereafter, Father Bernard,
why was there no body? What was the alleged death?
Non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Okay.
It made him disappear.
Right. It made him disappear. I don't know where the body is. No one knows.
Jesus, like, all right, we don't have a body, but we could do the funeral.
Right. So, you know, he was a devout Catholic. So the father gets an email being like, we got to set up from his alleged widow. We got to set up this memorial. Right after that email, he gets another email from another guy who wants to remain anonymous saying, don't hold that mass. And that quote, Mr. Oliverdian had faked his own death and was a fugitive, and that the woman who had reached out claiming to be his wife was probably Nicholas himself.
Right. Was that the FBI? Yeah.
No. He's like, I'm pretty sure he's emailing the priest being like, we got to get a service going for my late husband. But it's really him.
It was him.
Right. Yeah. But who gave the tip? Who was like, don't do it?
We don't know. Some random guy.
That's like the CIA or some shit. That's what I'm saying. That's like the NSA sending the father. Like,
it could be any number of people that this guy screwed in his lifetime. I don't know. But when Nicholas's widow, quote unquote widow, didn't see any memorial mass planning going on, she started calling the father repeatedly, saying, what's up with the mass? And the father told the journal that the woman was, quote, using some sort of device that changed people's voices. So, like, he's calling and pretending to be a woman.
You could tell it was like a robot woman's voice.
Exactly. Like, hello, father. This totally isn't Nicholas. He's dead. But how's his memorial mass going?
I miss him every day.
Yeah, it's so much fun doing this.
Oh, man. So the Providence Journal reached out to the woman who'd been emailing the father and calling the father and got no response. But then they ran the story about Nicholas probably being alive. And the Providence Journal got a 9-page incoherent email from her. Again, not Nicholas, her, explaining that his foster parents were liars. So was the community college. He felt up in the stairwell. Community college woman was a liar. The FBI were liars.
Did she ever exist, his wife, or did he just make her up completely?
Well, he was married twice, but he stuck one of them with a $52,000 bill. Mm-hmm. So, like, I doubt it was her.
So the second one could be fake.
Right. No. Who? No, this is him. So, I thought, okay, it's probable that this guy is dead. But then I read his obituary. Or he's alive. And then I read his obituary. I knew he was fucking alive because this is the most ridiculous obituary ever. Here's some direct quotes from his obituary. Mm-hmm. Nicholas's last words were, fear not and run towards the bliss of the sun. Mr. Oliverian was a painter, an author, amateur ornithologist, political scientist, sociologist, accomplished orator, and child welfare reform advocate. He did the unthinkable and was admitted and became an alumnus of Harvard University, the most peaceful and intellectually invigorating 4 years of his life. It's like if you could write your own fucking obituary, but didn't give a shit.
They left out con man rapist.
Big time. So this guy's alive.
Yeah. Nobody. So where is he? No one knows.
No one knows. They're trying to find him. The FBI is trying to find him.
Grid. Yeah. He's flown away by now.
I wonder if he's got a sex change. Maybe he has turned himself into his fake wife.
I don't know, but his Twitter is pretty great.
It wouldn't surprise me after that story. All right, guys. And I got another crazy story for you here. We're going to need to take a trip to the soft corner. This one is fucked up. Three pathetic men are going to be permanently residing in the soft corner until they are likely put to death by the state of Louisiana. This story comes from my wife, who is not happy with the assholes in this story. So,
damn, it sounds like they're bad guys.
They are bad guys. So you know the setting. It's Montague. Is that how you say it in French? Montague, Louisiana, I think is close enough. Mm-hmm. But the story you won't believe. 34-year-old Brittany Cormier and 37-year-old Hope Nettleton were fatally shot by two hitmen on January 13th. And there's a picture of Brittany and Hope, RIP. There you go. Neither of them were the intended targets of the hitmen, though. Brittany Cormier's brother, Beau Cormier, was conspiring to kill his niece, who was set to testify against him for raping her back in March of 2020, and he couldn't have that, as he's already a previously convicted felon sex offender, and he knows what happens when he goes to jail for 20 years for rape. So he ordered his friends.
So he just killed her instead.
He didn't. He ordered his friends, 25-year-old Andrew Eskine and 22-year-old David Wilson, if you can get a look at these three fucking guys, to kill the young woman who he had already raped. So he must not have liked her. Bo is on the left there, and then David Wilson is on the top, and Andrew Eskine's on the bottom.
Right. Yeah,
that's terrible.
His niece. He wanted to kill his niece.
He wanted to kill his niece that he raped.
After raping her.
Yeah. So guess they didn't get along.
He's like the worst brother in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was, so his sister, Brittany, ended up getting killed. Cause the thing is, Wilson showed up to Brittany Cormier's house, in Eskine's car. Eskine did not attend the murder, but he helped plan the attack and lent his car to David Wilson. So, Brittany knew something bad was going down when David Wilson showed up with a gun asking her to identify herself at her own house. So she pretended to be the rape victim, her niece as well, apparently. And she was then shot dead. Brittany's friend, Hope Nettleton, a friend and neighbor, was over at Cormier's house, and she tried to fight the shooter off, but Wilson easily won that battle and then shot her dead, too.
What a motherly thing to do. What a hero that woman is, to know that they're there to kill your kid and be like, yeah, it was me.
I don't think it was her kid. Oh, yes, okay. It was her. I think it was also her niece, based on
her
age.
No, it was her daughter.
It could have been her daughter. It didn't say in the article.
There was a daughter and a stepdaughter. I accidentally...
You read it? Okay,
I
accidentally, so yeah. Okay, cool. So then it was her daughter. Good, thank you. I'm glad you know that. And her daughter was hiding in the closet with her other child, Brittany's other child, and they ended up surviving.
Oh, they did?
Because David Wilson left and didn't know the kids were in the closet. He's so stupid that obviously if Brittany's like 34 and has a young daughter, when he asks who she is and she says, I'm my daughter, who's probably like 12 or younger. Like he's a moron, this murderer, because he thought like, how did he not know she wasn't the intended target if she's like in her 30s and the intended target's like not even a fucking teenager yet?
No, she's probably 20.
It's kind of like a shitty mailman. You know, who's just like, yeah, no, the package got delivered. You know, even though he knows it went to the wrong house, but he got out of his hands.
I mean, they were killing everyone in that house, so it did. I mean, you know what I mean? They were killing everyone.
That's fucking horrible.
True. I mean,
these trash individuals are going to be cleaned off the streets, huh? Is that there's somebody in there, Grady Judding them, please?
Yep. Like I said, Bo. Yeah, what a great brother, right? Bo is.
Yeah.
So they didn't get the intended target. She survived. And all three men have been charged with two counts of first degree murder and are being held in jail on $2 million bond piece, which they will not be able to afford. And the Terrebonne Parish District Attorney Joseph L. Waits Jr. said in the press conference that the death penalty is absolutely on the table.
Yeah, you'd think so.
Oh, yeah. They're slamming the death penalty home on these guys.
Maybe the guy who didn't show up but lent the car might not get the death penalty, but Bo and David Wilson, off with their heads.
For sure. Yeah, it's terrible.
Softball.
Louisiana, they're not afraid to throw that penalty around.
What are you doing today? I got this buddy raped his niece. She's going to testify, so I'm just helping him out a little bit.
He's going to
kill a whole household.
He's a good friend, you know. So yeah. He's always there for me.
Meet you at the bar.
When he met him at the card game the other week.
Yeah, when he's not raping his kin.
Yeah.
Terrible.
It's fucked up.
Yeah. All right, guys. Moving on. COVID hit businesses hard, right? So many people had to reinvent the way they did business. So when one farm near Rosendale in Lancashire, which normally sells, hosts wedding and educational visits, took a big hit, they had to change their whole business model. So they looked to their beloved goats and they slaughtered them and sold their meat to the Japanese.
Oh, wow.
No, I'm just kidding. Okay. No, they didn't do that. No, what they did.
That's adaptation. Had they done that, I mean, that would have been.
No, just kidding. No, what they did was they started a business where people would hire their show goats, Lulu and Sebastian, to pop in on a scheduled Zoom meetings for €5 a pop. And she has raised over 50,000 euros from the time the service started back in April of 2020.
They're throwing the term raised around quite a bit these days.
Well, that's you made it.
She
you
earned it. Yeah. No.
You offered that service. Yeah, exactly, Pat. Yeah.
What if that was the first first idea they scratched out? So kill and sell to the Japanese.
Well, you know who loves goat meat.
Yeah. Everything's exotic. So that's what they 50,000 euros. She said she started this thing. So what they do is people have Zoom meetings, like actual like businesses, and they hire just to have the goat pop in for some like comic relief
for a laugh.
Bubba, if you got a clip, this is what it looks like.
I'll be like, everything's possible, we can help you find this, and everybody can be a millionaire and everybody deserves this. You're like, you have never been in the real world. So
that's it.
Wait, hold on, Wes. That clip you just ran was like a man giving a speech, but the goat was in the meeting and people weren't reacting to it.
Right.
Were they supposed to react to it? Did we miss it?
I think that might have been later after the initial reaction, but the goat is just there.
They were like disinterested in the goat already.
It's just vibing in the meeting.
Yeah.
It's giving your meeting a goat vibe.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the dumbest shit ever. People have way too much money and way too much disposable income if they're buying this service.
Yeah, and it also like sets up really terrible bosses to be like, "Hey, I got a special guest. Tom Brady is joining the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady's coming in."
Yeah, it's a goat.
It's a goat. Yeah. His name's Tom Brady, though.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. I mean, if you're a CEO, you love that. So now people are doing this with llamas. It's never going to stop. People are going to soon have tigers and fucking, you know, any kind of animal pop into their Zoom meeting.
You know the sad part about the corporate world is that the power structure is that you probably these dumbass bosses aren't getting shit talked back to them like when they really should be. Like the people who are having to endure the goat, they're having to just sit there and like swallow it and pretend like it was a great idea.
The goat. And, yeah, no, not only that, but the goat is such a self-congratulated great idea by the execs. Like they give themselves like a bonus because they came up with the goat idea. It's
the morale's through the roof. We did the goat.
It's mentioned for the next four meetings. Yeah. You have to pretend for the next four meetings that the goat was the greatest thing that happened in 2021. That's the worst thing that can happen
at your office.
Yeah. To give some context for the other end of this, my brother-in-law told me that as like a, I guess like a sales motivator, his company brought in Pitbull,
the
rapper, to hype up the sales team.
That's awesome.
Oh yeah, that's classic corporate shit.
Yeah.
So
that's
yeah,
better than a goat it's, on
yeah,
Zoom.
It's better than the goat.
It's way better.
Goat on Zoom is horrible.
Mr. Worldwide is better than a goat on Zoom for €5.
Yeah, but it's taking off now. Everyone that wasn't even the video I played wasn't even from this farm. Everyone that has a fucking goat is now offering this service because it's just taking off.
Saturated.
Turn your fucking goat into a wet cam girl.
Yeah, that's right.
Does it do any tricks or just
no? It's just a goat. It just walks around and
look. It's going to the bathroom. Is that its trick?
There it is.
And yeah, I guess that's what he thinks of your idea, Steve.
Yeah. Yeah. It just means that what you have to say means nothing. So here, let's have everyone pay attention to the goat.
Or
instead.
What I have to say to you is so shitty that I need a fucking goat.
Right.
Is there like walk around while I say it so it seems less shitty.
Is anyone else a little horny?
Yeah, exactly. It's like the quarterly review meeting and they're giving out the awards and
bonuses. You know, get the goat.
The goat gets the first award as a joke. They bring I'm just kidding. It's actually Sarah.
Dude, it's the fucking, it's the jelly of the month club is what it is. It's Clark Griswold's jelly of the month club.
Yeah. But hey, speaking of horny, this episode, that segment is sponsored by Blue Chew. Woo-hoo. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. BlueChew.com. That's blue.
Be the goat again.
Like the color, yeah. Like, yeah, you're going to be going like
more goat. Like the donkey.
That's right. Now you can, Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You can take them anytime, day or night, on a full belly, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. If you could benefit from more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Blue Chew is prescribed online by licensed doctors, physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor's office or wait in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package. Nobody's going to know. And they're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. No awkwardness. You don't have to go to the pharmacy. You don't have to leave the house. Right now, we got a special deal for you guys. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code HARDFACTOR, all one word. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code HARDFACTOR to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper choice. And hey, remember, guys, we thank them for sponsoring this podcast, and you should really try them out. Remember, when you support our sponsors, you help make this podcast possible to remain free to you guys. So please be sure to use our promo code HARDFACTOR at BlueChew.com.
Wes, that's not a deal. That's a steal. Free Blue Chews right there. And fellas, you see what I got on if you're watching on YouTube.com/HARDFACTOR News. It's the space helmet.
I think they can tell by your voice.
Yeah.
That means we're headed back to Space Mountain. No, I'm breathing easy in this thing. I've dropped at least half an ounce this week, so I'm feeling much lighter inside this helmet.
It kind of looks like you're wearing like a knight's helmet who got a Bluetooth, is what more than a spaceman a little bit.
It looks like an eagle like a eagle's beak.
Yeah. Kind of looks like you're inside of an eagle.
No, that's my visor. That's my sun repellent visor that I pull down when
I'm on
Mars.
Can someone get
Will
a better fucking?
We got to get him some better than this.
This is a great space helmet. Okay. If you think you can do better, please let me know, and I'm all ears. But it's another day, fellas, and another mark for progress in the race to explore space. You guessed it. That progress is marked in another exploded SpaceX test starship. This time it's the SN9 starship. Sorry, Elon haters. It was not a manned ship, so you cannot celebrate any deaths yet. Shout out to Big Ounce for the story submission. The high-altitude experiment launched from Boca Chica, Texas, on Tuesday and was a repeat of the accident that destroyed the previous SN8 Starship. We also covered that one. You probably remember that. The Starship SN9 blew up on its final descent. So it was like it came off, boom, perfect launch. It can carry like 100 tons of gear plus humans. It went up into space, and then it's a 16-story rocket. all into space. It did a couple of minutes just like hanging out. But then it came back down for a controlled landing, or what was supposed to be a controlled landing. Problem is, the engines that were supposed to stop the thing from exploding just didn't work.
It ain't carrying shit now anymore. No. Isn't this a pattern? We've called this out. So Elon has every other like one is an explosion. It's always a non-manned one. And it's like it gets a bunch of press and everyone freaks out. And then like his next manned one goes perfectly. It seems like it's a stunt at this point.
I think he prefers to explode the test
chute. Yeah, it's like he's counting death cards in death blackjack.
It's to fuck with his astronauts as well as get press. It's like
those new spaceships, they look like something you'd give like a kid in the 50s, like as like a a rocket. They look so basic. Sure. It looks like he expects them to blow up.
I'm glad you guys bring this up. I'm woke on this too. I think he likes to blow these up, like you're both saying, and Wes. The final Starship is going to look so much superior to this test junk that they've been exploding. Mm-hmm. Like it's not even funny. Like you're looking at this stupid metal silo and you're like, oh, this is the dumb ship they're going to try to. And then like the real one's going to be fucking incredible.
There's a 0.0% chance that it explodes on landing. I'll put it that way. Like, there's no way that the final one won't slow down.
Yeah, basically what happened here, it's supposed to flip itself back over, and then the rockets on the bottom of the ship are supposed to re-engage, and they didn't for the test. So, two tests, two explosions. We'll probably have more explosions, honestly, before it's all said and done.
Every non-manned one that he doesn't care about.
He's going to just blow it up to tank the stock and buy some more for himself, probably. In other shocking but not shocking space news, the White House dodged answering questions about the Space Force on Tuesday. So even seemingly mocking their existence and not knowing who a point of contact would be for something as silly as one of the military branches that launches space rockets into the space. So wouldn't expect much help from the Biden admin on the Space Exploration Fund, fellas. But in some good news for the space heads out there, the Perseverance, the Mars lander, with the advanced underground sensors and drone camera attached to it, should be landed on the red planet on February 18th. Bubba, I think we got a image of the diagram. They're supposed to like hook a cable onto it using a reverse sky crane move to gently land it onto the red planet on the 18th.
Looks like a movie.
Yeah,
it looks too good to be true, honestly. Let's see if that thing makes it in one piece.
It's like Dennis Villanueva made that, like Blade Runner 2099 or whatever it's called.
I think it's pronounced Denis.
Oh, okay. Did you guys see that press secretary's clip?
Jen Psaki, she was like laughing at the person in their face. They're like, Space Force. Yo, go check with the Space Force guys down at Space Force Laboratories. Okay. Yeah.
Completely mocking.
Because that's
a
thing.
They're like, have you talked to a Space Force yet? She was like, no, we haven't talked to Space Force.
It's a branch of the military with 16,000 members.
And that's kind of fucked
pretty
up.
Big budget.
She is mega adversarial. She is so adversarial. Cereal up there. She really is.
She's doing a great job, right?
Yeah. Well, it's fun to watch. And guys, that's gonna do it for Hard Factor. Thank you guys so much for listening. Hey, give us a follow. Tune into mine and Will's stereo show today. My stereo is Pat Cassidy. Will's is at Hard Factor Will. It'll be 5 p.m. Eastern. Get some merch, please. HardFactor.com. Do that shit. Like, subscribe, comment, and have a great fucking day.
Say goodbye.
Okay,
maybe that's
a little rough, right?
Mars ain't the kind of place to raise your kids. In fact, it's cold as hell. And there's no one there to raise them.
All right, everybody. Once again, that episode was brought to you by the new Stereo app. You got to join us every Wednesday and Friday. We are going on there. It is a free app. It's like radio meets social media, like a YouTube live stream. meets SiriusXM. It's crazy. It's an awesome new feature, free in the Android store or iPhone store. Just download it. It's stereo, black and orange icon. And when once you download the app, follow at Hard Factor Will, at Hard Factor Mark, at Hard Factor Wes, and at Pat Cassidy. And then we're going live, like I said, every Wednesday and Friday. So today, Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, Pat and I will, we're going to be going live on stereo, and I think we're going to be talking about new dads, being new dads. Pat's got a baby due very soon. I've got a fresh baby who is crying right outside the studio right now. We're going to break that down. Listen to the end of the last few episodes if you want samples of the stereo app and what it does, but it's free, no risk at all. Just download it, follow us, and more free shows. Talk to you soon.